This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy?
Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
All right, hour two is upon us. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Mark Milky joining us now as well. He is author of Victim Cult. Mark, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks, John, for having me.
Oh, appreciate it very much. Andy and I talk about this subject on a pretty routine basis. To have somebody that actually wrote a book on it and we can, you know, kind of go back and forth here is a joy. So I guess, first off, why the book? I always ask that of authors. Why'd you write it?
Sure. I grew up near an Indian reserve in Canada, and unlike a lot of reserves in Canada, the United States, it was very successful, and it's been very successful over the decades, in part because the leaders of that reserve said, look, we're not looking back. You can look at any wrong in American history, any country's history, but we're not looking back. We're looking forward. And as a result, for that and various other reasons, they've been quite successful, and have average incomes and employment way up there with other citizens. So that's where it started, was with that observation.
Hey, Mark, do you have any idea where the whole victimhood craze really took off? Because I don't understand how America has actually gone to become a place where victimhood and identity have now displaced merit,
right,
as the way to get ahead.
Right. Well, it may have begun long before the United States and more recently. I mean, look, I look back at Adam and Eve, and you're probably familiar with the story. God says to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, don't pick the fruit. What do? They pick the fruit.
Right.
He says, what's up? Eve blames the serpent. Adam blames Eve, and there you go. This seems to be endemic in human nature.
Yeah, by the way, Mark, that's why I got married, is to have someone to blame.
Exactly.
So it has worked out.
It's like Adam.
Yeah, I think recently, and you're right, it is contra the American experiment. I mean, you know, the buck stops Harry Truman. I think part of it is, you know, you've got avenues these days where you can dredge up old grievances. And nothing in the victim cult, by the way, plays down actual tragedies. But you can dredge up old grievances or wrongs that happened 20 years ago or 200 years ago and say, that's the reason I and my family or my group are the way we are today. Now, prior to the internet, I mean, try to imagine. I mean, if something's going to go on, some issue goes on and on every night, it would have to be covered by the three major networks, like
right.
Watergate in the early 1970s.
Correct.
But now, social media can pile on forever and pretend that what happened 20 years ago, 200 years ago, you know, is a reason for your stubbed toe today, so to speak.
Right. No, you're correct. Social media has exacerbated all of this to the, you know, probably a hundredth fold or more, Mark, to what you just said a moment ago. I mean, just like the instant media, I guess you could call it, where as soon as something happens, everybody in the world knows. Used to be, it took sometimes days to figure out what had actually happened in a particular situation. This is exactly the same when it comes to, you know, social media and this victimhood.
Well, and it's an emotional response as well, right? I mean, we immediately
yes.
respond to an issue. That actually makes it more difficult to reason through something and say, okay, are you really sure that what you're claiming here is the reason for this event? I mean, so for example, in the victim cult, I quote Thomas Sowell, the famous American economist
right.
who grew up in the South and then Harlem. And people, you know, will often say, well, slavery is the reason for the breakup of the American family, as they point out in the victim cult. Sowell says, no, actually, American black families were mostly together until the 1950s, until welfare and you know, some cultural norms changed. So if you're going to blame anything on the breakup of the black American family, it's that. It was healthier right after slavery. I mean, nobody's endorsing slavery or anything else that happened against
black. No, the point being, it was healthier then than it was with other quote-unquote programs instituted
right.
by the government.
Right, so wrong cause and effect link there. You know, and I think as well, there's been a kind of an abdication of responsibility in modern American life. I mean, from the top, I mean, some of your listeners will like Donald Trump, some won't. But even Donald Trump, I mean, 2015 and 2016 is complaining about media treatment. Well, look, every president has been treated badly by the media, and conservative Republicans are probably treated worse. I mean, I do think there is a liberal bias in the media. I think it exists.
Yeah.
It existed for a very long time.
Yes.
Richard Nixon famously complained in 1962 about treatment by the media and said, you're not going to have Nixon to kick around anymore. But what he did was then said, but I'm not canceling my newspaper subscriptions, and went toe-to-toe with the media that very day. So I think even, you know, we have come a long way since Harry Truman, the buck stops here. And I think as well, I mean, look, I think it's maybe it's an unawareness of history. I mean, if you came out of World War II and you're John F. Kennedy, or, you know, you're Ronald Reagan, I mean, who didn't serve in World War II but served as governor of California and a union leader, you know, and you grew up in the Great Depression like Ronald Reagan did, you're not going to complain necessarily about treatment by the media or anyone else. Because you saw real tough times. And I think part of it today is people don't have perspective on what really is a tragedy or what really is wrong. Living through the Great Depression and World War II, that's tough.
Yeah.
But not getting your, you know, getting your feelings hurt at Yale because someone wears a costume in 2015 that may be of your ethnicity, and that's going to be what, a microaggression? I mean, as I write about in The Victim Cult, really taking offense over Halloween costumes and so-called microaggressions. I mean, there's a lack of perspective and depth, historical depth.
Mark, does it even matter if it was true or not what was done to you? When you get the feeling of victimhood, it seems to just diminish you greatly. And let me take a look at Trump, because, you know, I'm gonna take issue with one thing. He did. I've seen the numbers. People count up the, you know, the percentages on the articles and the treatment. He was treated worse by the media than any other politician of our time. I've never seen anything like it. It was rabid. Okay.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. But yeah. That being said, I would also be very quick to say that the victim status that he took on because of that damaged him and lowered a lot. It made him look like a whiner to the American people rather than a strong leader.
Well, in fact, I've got a quote in The Victim Cult where he says, I whine and I whine until I win. So it's almost like part of his persona.
Right.
But the reason I mention him is, again, because it's a departure from the traditional American norm. And here's a great counterexample of people who were deeply discriminated against. Asian Americans in The Victim Cult, they look at the experience of Asian Americans between 1850 and 1950, and they are heavily discriminated against. I mean, second to black Americans.
Right.
And yet, they fight back. So there's a great example. There's a couple of examples in The Victim Cult where Asian Americans in San Francisco and New York and Chicago, they push back against discriminatory local laws. In one case, a gentleman is 21 years old, leaves California for China, comes back. He was born in the United States, but he's barred from returning because the prejudice, you know, the prejudice gatekeepers of his era tried to keep him out. He has to go all the way to the Supreme Court. He wins, and I think it's 1891, and the Supreme Court says, look, a U.S.-born citizen is a U.S.-born citizen, and the ban on Asian immigration, which was in place at the time, and citizenship does not apply to someone born as an American.
Right.
You know, even though there was great prejudice against Asian Americans and those who came from Asia at the time, pretty much banning all of them who weren't born here. So, but Asian Americans don't stand for this. They fight back in the courts and politics where they can. And I found a really interesting set of statistics, like 1910, 1920, 1930. This is the high point, so to speak, for discrimination against Japanese Americans, Chinese Americans. What you find is that in 1910, their kids are graduating from high school and college rates slightly lower than white Americans. But by 1920 and 1930, they're graduating at rates much higher than white Americans. Mm. And this to me is fascinating because, you know, this is the period where really immigration stops dead in 1922, especially for anybody from Asia. And yet, Asian Americans are saying, look, regardless of what's happening now, we're going to push back in any way we can. We're entrepreneurial. We're going to educate our kids.
Mm-hmm.
That actually sets up the foundation for Asian American success, which, you know, is now a cliche, right? The Pacific class, if you want to call them that, as I do in the book, is at the top of the heap in terms of education, you know, university degrees or income. So Asian Americans are a tremendous example of, yes, some wrongs have happened, especially in that era.
Correct.
But we're pushing back.
Hey, Mark, what was there in the Asian culture that allowed them to overcome the way they did? It's almost like it's almost like they had the mindset, hey, we understand oppression in the old country. We get it. This is nothing. Okay, we're gonna succeed here. We see opportunity, whereas other people see an opportunity to whine.
Well, relentless pushback. I mean, I wouldn't say it wasn't nothing, but there were some pretty, you know, heavily discriminatory actions in California and across the United States. But they took the mentality of, look, this is better where we came from in China at that point. But also, they did fight back in the courts. There's an example of a Japanese labor leader says to the American Federation of Labor, which is all white at this point and wants to keep it that way, look, let me in, let us in, we want to help you out. You know, and he was a believer in labor unions of the day. So they kept trying. They also wanted to integrate. They said, look, we want the American dream like everyone else does. And there's a poignant story of a young lady in the 1930s, and I think it's Pasadena, California, writing about how she always thought she was American, and then she grows up and she discovers she can't get into some movie theaters. It was obviously really disappointing. But they didn't stop there, and that's the key thing. And they really were as entrepreneurial as possible in that era, and also, again, put their kids in school and said, look, you're going to get an education. And so I think there were a number of factors, you know, the entrepreneurship,
is
the
it,
education,
is it one,
and the
is it safe to
pushback.
Say, Mark, with that particular group of individuals, the Asian Americans, is it safe to say that they also did a better job of assimilating into the culture that was around them rather than trying to change the culture that was around them? Am I safe to say that?
Well, I think it was both. I mean, assimilation can be a dirty word. I prefer to use integration because
makes sense. Yes.
Yeah.
Assimilation sounds like you lose yourself. Integration sounds like you bring your best to make it better.
No, you guys are correct. I'll agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, word games, but I mean, it matters. I think, you know, people bring their strengths to the culture, and, you know, and I think what happened was, in essence, you know, Black Americans, Asian Americans, helped America live up to her ideals of life, liberty, you know, pursuit of happiness for all, and that was a good thing.
I agree.
But it is interesting, because today you see a lot of people that, you know, see a disparity in outcomes when you measure by race, for example, in the census, and I look at this in the book, and they want to retreat into silos. This was not what Japanese Americans and Chinese Americans wanted. In fact, that would have given in to the racists of the day. And they said, no, look, we want to participate on an equal basis with other Americans in American society. Let us in. Let us vote. Yeah. Let us become citizens, right? Don't discriminate against
Instead of having that woe is me attitude, they had the I'm going to make sure we win attitude.
Right. I mean, what's the old joke that living well is the best revenge? And that's kind of what Asian Americans did.
Yeah.
And you certainly see it in the statistics by the 1950s, 1960s, where, you know, average incomes for Asian Americans, for Japanese or Chinese at that point, you know, origin, or that's your ethnic origin, your incomes are already higher than other Americans. And so it's really a testament to what education and grit can do. I mean, it almost sounds facile, but it's you know, Tony Robbins 1, 2, 3. Again, nothing in the victim cult downplays the actual tragedies or, you know, the internment of Japanese Americans.
Right.
You know, and I argue, look, you know, you can compensate and should compensate people for recent wrongs. Where I draw a line in the victim cult, and it's an art more than a science, is, you know, compensating for slavery 150 years ago. If you really try and draw a line, a straight line between slavery over a century and a half ago and outcomes today, I think that's a very weak link. Or an even better example is Bill Clinton years ago blaming part of 9/11 on the Crusades 1,000 years before. I mean, talk about a weak cause and effect link or non-existent. That had nothing to do with 9/11, and in fact, you know, the Crusades were forgotten in the Arab world, as I write, until the mid-19th century. So, you really, you know, but people today will blame all sorts of things on things that happened, including tragedies, including wrongs, 150 or 1,000 years ago. That's really weak. But yesterday or 10 years ago, sure. I mean, there's a better cause and effect link that could be established.
Hey, Mark, can you comment on another group that has a tremendous history of being oppressed, but has overcome and really excelled here in America, and that would be Jewish Americans?
Sure, they're a great counterexample. And in the victim cult, I actually look at both the Palestinians and Jews around the world. I mean, if you look at 1948 and the establishment of Israel, I mean, you see that both sides suffered. In fact, you know, and this is what happens. You had two nationalist movements clashing. And again, without getting into, you know, the weeds there too much, well, what you saw, though, was, you know, Jews post-1940 or post-1945, of course, after World War II and the Holocaust, I don't know how to put this. I don't want to sound at all flippant, but they decided that they were not going to give up, obviously. And whether they moved to, you know, New York City or Buenos Aires or London, many of them, of course, started over. And there was a refusal to give up, to give into the absolute atrocities that had happened, to let that define them forever. I mean, I think Jewish, you know, Americans and others are a good example of those who say, let's not forget this. It would be a mistake to do that. But we've also got to find a way to succeed. And again, living well really is the best revenge against those who would keep one down or try and discriminate or worse against someone once again.
Mark Milkey with us. Again, it's M-I-L-K-E, and the book is Victim Cult. You can find it at victimcult.com. Mark, I'm up against a break. It's been a joy having you, sir. Appreciate it very much.
Anytime. Thank you, John.
You're very welcome. Again, folks, victimcult.com. Again, we'll have that link up on the website later tonight as well. Franktown Firearms up next, folks. And don't forget about their fabulous Friday nights where they do their tactical fun nights. And it's also a great place where you can shop for that hard-to-find person to buy for, I should say, that person that you always wonder, what gift do I get? Well, I guarantee you at Franktown you'll find something that they will like. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You can't not smile after firing Freedom Seeds. That's what the shop manager at Franktown Firearms calls bullets. You want the freedom of self-reliance. The negativity of the news makes your security feel uncertain. Whether you're looking to make your first firearm purchase or you're a master at arms, Franktown Firearms is here to cultivate a relationship with you as a client, not as a customer. Even though you may be a first-time shooter, Franktown Firearms has professional trainers that can get you to the experience level you want to be at. There's no cap holding you back. Training can be one-on-one or in a classroom setting because they customize instructions based on your level of comfortability. They include a rental firearm you can train with. You even have the choice to try before you buy when you're unsure what to purchase. The empowerment of a firearm is sure to help you liberate your smile in a seemingly uncertain time. Visit klzradio.com/Franktown for more information. That's klzradio.com/Franktown.
Do you have no shows in your calendar? Most of us do from time to time, and a way to eliminate those is use GReminders. Instead of sending calendar invites, which, by the way, I absolutely hate because most of the time they're not formatted right, they're not done correctly, it might even not be the time you even agreed upon. GReminders puts you in charge of all of that, and you can set up exactly how you want the reminders to happen. And by the way, they can happen either through email, text message, or a phone call. Go to gReminders.com or find them on our website, rushtoreason.com. Just look for GReminders.
It's so easy, you don't even need to think about it. GReminders has one goal, to eliminate wasted time and money by reminding your customers about their appointments. They don't want you to spend a lot of time editing the reminders. That would defeat the purpose. So GReminders has created a dynamic system unique to the industry that requires almost no effort on your part. You move an appointment on your calendar, GReminders will automatically update to reflect those changes. Sign up now for 10% off your first year at GReminders.com/KLZ.
Buy an investment, not a job. Because John Rush has bought and sold his own businesses in the past, he's learned the hard way what happens when you purchase a disorganized company. You end up buying a job. John knows what it's like to work 80 hours a week just to keep a business afloat. He's not a broker, but he can spot the difference between a well-run company and a chaotic one. Hire John Rush to evaluate a business before you buy it. Email John at rushtoreason.com.
From Denver's KLZ 560, I'm Richard Beatty with traffic and weather. A crash, Tower Road at 88th. We've got police activity, 6th Avenue at Sheridan. Avoid that area. Left lane is blocked, 6th Avenue East at I-25. That's backed up to Federal. And a wreck, Havana at Florida. You're good down to the Springs, up to the High Country, and north I-25 all the way up to Fort Collins. Skyview weather on KLZ 560. 59 degrees in the greater Denver metro. Partly cloudy with an overnight low around 38. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 71. That's traffic and weather. I'm Richard Beatty, KLZ 560, your home station.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, got a few minutes here before Michelle Schneider joins us, which she does on a pretty routine basis. We'll find out what's going on in the markets and all of that. But before we do that, and this is a deep topic, so really just read the headline and brush on, and we'll have to come back
and talk
about
it. Let's give it shallow treatment.
Yeah, we'll come back and talk about it maybe at a later time. But the Colorado, this is a headline in the Colorado Sun, the Colorado legislature's IOU to the state public pension, in other words, para, is growing as retiree benefits get cut. Do you want me to cry?
No.
Wah.
No, I really don't.
I don't care.
That thing was set up basically to rob taxpayers.
Yeah, I don't care. Furthermore, why are we as taxpayers giving it an IOU at all?
I don't know.
Why are we funding this thing at all? Period.
I don't know.
It should be self-funded.
Guess what? In the real business world, you know, the real world, if you can't afford retirement benefits, guess what? They get cut.
Right.
Or you go out of business and then nobody gets a thing.
Right.
These people never go out of business and then they whine about cuts. Cry me a river.
And this article, of course, because it's written at a very liberal organization, not even leaning, but it's a flat-out liberal hack of a website. But I read their stuff because I want to know what the other side does and thinks and says and so on.
You want a good laugh.
You know, and I laugh, yeah, occasionally. Sometimes I get just spitting mad because it's just like, you got to be stinking joking me. This is what you guys really think? You think the taxpayers need to bail out para? Really? That's what you think? You're that far off the wagon?
Hey, here's an idea. How about you guys give less money to illegals and people who don't work and who stay at home? How about you give out less free stuff? Okay? If you want to give it to these people in retirement, and by the way, I want them all to have a good retirement. That's great. But what if we don't need as much of you this year or that year? How about you do some cuts? How about you cut giving money to people who don't achieve versus those who do? I'm sorry, but they waste money everywhere, John, and then they whine about us propping them up.
Spot on. That's why I say this is one of those topics we'll dig into a little deeper at some point. For a lot of you listening that may not know what PARA is, really quickly, that is the public retirement fund, if you would, public worker retirement fund here in Colorado. Educators, policemen, legislatures, on down the line we go. They put money into PARA. It's a designated benefit, defined benefit program is what I should say, to where it's not a designed or a defined contribution system. It's a defined benefit system. It needs to switch, by the way.
Yeah, there needs to be a better system.
Because what it is, because what I mean by defined benefit is if Andy's at PARA and he's making 100 grand a year as a school teacher on his way out the door, and that's been his salary the last 2+ years, he gets about 85% of that the rest of his life.
Right.
No matter what you put in, by the way.
Yeah.
It goes off of that 100K salary. That's why it's a defined benefit, not a defined contribution.
Whereas we in the private sector are doing what? Putting
defined
money
contribution.
In. Yeah.
Well, not even defined. It's just whatever you put in is what you get back out. So anyways, we'll get into more of that later. It's very confusing for a lot of folks out there. But when you hear people talk about PARA and that it may be underfunded or it's not working like it should, don't cry. Other than it'll be your taxpayer dollars fixing it. But you got a lot of teachers and workers that have been in that program for years that are sucking off that thing and have been for a very long time. And frankly, they could take a haircut and it wouldn't hurt them at all.
Yes. And also, it seems like the only people they ever want to cut are the cops.
All right. We'll come back again. Michelle Snyder joining us in just 1 minute. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. If you want some advice on your current mortgage, you want a review of it for free, call Kurt Rogers, 720-895-0500.
Rates are low, but are you still paying too much interest? Why continue to pay most of your interest up front like a conventional loan when you can use the asset manager to save thousands in unnecessary interest costs? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. The asset manager is a simple interest loan, which means when your payoff decreases, your payment decreases, and so does your interest. Our clients are paying off their home in half the time, they're not changing their spending habits, and they have access to their equity for 30 years, even after it's paid off. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Think about it. This simple interest loan allows you to own your home faster, access your equity for 30 years, which means never having to refinance over and over and over again to pay off debts or for home improvements. No more requalifying, no more additional cost. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. And see for yourself. You're in control, not the bank. NMLS 298-191, regulated by DOR, equal credit lender.
All right, folks, if you've, again, we've had some warm weather, but it's still cold at night. If you're turning on the furnace and it's not working quite right, it's got some noises in, it's not heating correctly, or maybe not coming on at all, maybe just be blowing air, may not be having any type of heat coming out of it whatsoever, Absolute can take care of you. It's a simple phone call, 720-526-0231. Don't forget to ask about the Advantage membership as well. You can also find them at klzradio.com.
Increase comfortability in your home with a UV air purifying system from Absolute. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air offers dynamic air solutions you won't find at most HVAC companies. Unfortunately, not all air purification products deliver on their promises. Before selecting a product, the team at Absolute personally met with the scientists who developed the technology, installing systems in their own homes to make sure they really work. The science makes sense. Your ultraviolet purifier attaches to your furnace, killing particles like dust, mold, and even most viruses at the source before the air blows through your vents into the rest of your house. One small unit purifies the air throughout your home, eliminating odors. Call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air today for an air purifier that works. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
Hi, this is Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. I wanted to let you know about an upcoming event December 2nd at the Buck Recreation Center in downtown Littleton. At 6:30, I'll be talking about understanding Social Security. If you'd like to attend, give my office a call, 303-744-1128. I hope to see you there.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Michelle Snyder joining us now. Mish for short. She's managing director of the Market Gauge Group and author of the best-selling book, Plant Your Money Tree, A Guide to Growing Your Wealth. Michelle, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. Always a joy having you. I noticed today the market, though, last couple of days, has been down. It was doing pretty well there for a while, and it's overall done okay, but it's not doing well the last couple of days. How come?
Well, obviously, the new variant started out as the major spook of the market on Friday. It was the surprise Black Friday. It was the worst Black Friday we've had in 70 years, and certainly in my lifetime, I thought I was having a nice four-day weekend and had to come in to manage things. So, yeah, I think it caught a lot of people by surprise. Furthermore, once the market started to get used to the idea that nobody really knows how the impact of this variant will be, even though at today we have 17 countries now reporting cases of Omicron and lots of people closing borders, there's been talk about, is it mild symptoms? Is it a death sentence? People are thinking that this is just the start of many mutations that we're going to have to be dealing with. Markets seem to be finally relaxing a little bit as of Monday. And then walks in Jerome Powell, and he really confused the market today by rolling back his word transitory, saying we're going to retire that word because now we're entrenched in inflation.
Oh, he's actually going to call it what it finally is, which I'm surprised is taking him this long.
I mean, he's now calling it what we've been calling it all along.
For a year.
Yes.
No offense.
Exactly.
Way to catch up.
No. Totally. Hey, John, I know. We've been talking about this for a long, long time. But let's talk about what he's really saying. As far as I'm concerned, regardless of what his words are, what he was really saying is he said three things. So three things that can have an impact on the market. Number one is obviously the labor market, as we know, has already been pretty piss poor.
Right.
Number two is we don't really know what's going to happen with the variant, although my sense, for whatever that's worth, is that we're not going to go into major shutdowns or anything like that. I don't think that's going to happen.
Either.
I think we're just going to have to.
I think it's a blip. Why these guys on Wall Street get so uptight about things that, I mean, I guess it's the unknown, but the reality is, Mish, you can see the trajectory of COVID and what it's done with every variant. Nothing out there would say this one's going to be worse than the last. Nothing says that. Do these guys not read anything, scientifically speaking, at all when it comes to viruses? I'm confused.
Well, you know, the market is very, very, two things the market hates more than anything is uncertainty. And then two, taper talk, which is what exactly happened today. So essentially what Powell was saying was, okay, we may speed up the rate of taper, but we are concerned about what's going to happen with the economy. And even before, by the way, this weekend, the market was going to new highs in certain areas, but others were not. So, you know, I always get a little bit nervous when tech leads the charge because tech is not the U.S. economy.
True.
You know, transportation, retail, industrials, manufacturing, that's the U.S. economy. And they've already shown signs of stress, not to mention the fact that as much as we have talk about higher rates, higher rates, higher rates, the long bonds have actually shown a drop in yields, which is a flight to safety. So he addressed the fact that he's going to be maybe less accommodative in terms of we're not going to be doing any more bond buying. But he, at the same time, didn't say we're definitely going to raise rates. I mean, that's what the market fears more than anything. Mm-hmm. And unless we really see a new surge of inflation, which I think is totally possible, particularly, you know, what happens here, because if you looked at everything today, oil's down, metals were down, grains were down, fruit, soft commodities were down. You go, oh, no inflation. But we know what happens. You get the liquidity crunch. People sell out of everything.
Right.
Obviously, all of a sudden, people sit home more, although the work from home trades didn't exactly go crazy either. And then all of a sudden, people start coming back, and then all the problems are still going to be there. The supply chain problems are still going to be there. The low supply, high demand, still going to be there, and the labor problems are still going to be there. So he left, Powell left himself a little bit open, but it definitely, from my purview, still doesn't seem like he's going to be able to control the inevitable once the variant is not the conversation.
Right,
now we
right.
go back to the fact that we're still, we have a slow economy, period, amen.
Agree.
Hey, Mish, let's take a step back again. When you look at the week Black Friday that we just had, does that send any foreboding vibes about any sectors in the economy?
Well, certainly if you look at, let's say, even just straight old retail, you know, which I call the grandma of the economy, it's actually come off a lot from the highs. But if you look at, I like to look a little bit further out than just like a daily, day-to-day prices. It's still holding relatively well against the October lows. I know October seems like so long ago, but it was just a month ago.
Right.
And in October, if you look at XRT, which is what I like to use as the benchmark for retail because it's brick and mortar as well as e-commerce, we were at 90 in the beginning of October, and we had that little blip in the beginning of October, and we're not there yet. So to me, I would not start getting really super concerned about retail until we broke down under that level.
Part of the reason why, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's not surprising retail was off 28% on Black Friday given the supply chain issues. And Andy and I talked about that even before coming on the program today with you, Michelle, is that when people establish new habits, which is what a lot of these stupid governors across the country did, they allowed new habits to be formed, i.e. online shopping. When you do that, is it any wonder that brick and mortar stores were down 28% on Black Friday? I'm not surprised by that at all. I'm surprised it's not worse.
No. Exactly. I mean, I agree with you. Now, I actually did go out on Black Friday. Not that where we live is a great representation because, you know, Santa Fe is such a small city.
Sure, but still.
But nonetheless, it was dead. It was dead. I mean, really, the parking lot was full, but I didn't see a lot of people in the stores. So it certainly didn't surprise me. And then, by the way, the other very bizarre thing is a lot of the stores that I did go into didn't really even have a lot on sale. That was even more surprising.
Yeah, and I saw the same thing on that end of it. And I think, again, you look at why was it down 28%? But, in defense of the retailers, when your box is short on supply, why are you going to give it big discounts when you don't need to? You might as well keep your prices up, not have as much quantity, but make more money on what you actually have in the box.
Absolutely, and that's exactly, you just summed it up. That's exactly right. They didn't really discount what was already out there, and so that was a surprise to me. And by the way, you know, Apple was the big thing today. They're calling Apple the flight to safety, which, I mean, I don't understand why necessarily, but because it is definitely something. At what point do people stop buying? Stop buying. I know I ordered the iPro of the 13, the new phone,
right?
And I can't get it till after December 10th. But at some point, even that's kind of silly in terms of, you know, how much money are people going to spend on their new AirPods and their new iPhones, et cetera. I mean, it's going to some switch, and even talk of electric cars and all the other things they're going to divest to. You know, when you get into a liquidity crisis, even the giants fall. So let's, you know, to me, what's going to be the sign for the market at this point? And I think number one is you have to watch the dollar, which is all over the map. It was weak and then it was strong. And then after Powell talked, it got a little stronger and then it went weaker again. And so there's definitely going to be, as we're getting into 2022, some credibility factor in terms of the United States that has nothing to do with what Powell has said or anything like that, or even the variant, just the whole political disparity that we have here, how divided we are as a country. That's number one. Number okay. two is you have to look at the price, obviously, of the raw materials, and
right.
that's going to be a big factor.
Correct.
And number three is can we get any real growth from anywhere? You know, one thing we know is that the stimulus is gone. There's not going to be any more stimulus. So that's going to go away. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. I was going into 2022 hopeful about certain areas, like, for example, clean energy. It really seemed like clean energy was going to take off and electric cars were taking off, and you had that sexy IPO of Rivian and it went nuts, and then you had talk of the metaverse and that went crazy, and then you had, you know, obviously all these tech companies that are dealing with AI and cloud technology and cybersecurity, like Microsoft, all doing well. Well, all of that has come off. So then you go, okay, back work from home. People aren't going to necessarily be buying Zoom and Netflix and all these things. They're tired. So it's, to me right now, what's the most interesting, believe it or not, of everything out there, you know what I'm going to say? Hmm. Can you take a guess?
Hmm. No.
Bitcoin. Yeah, cryptocurrencies.
Crypto, yeah. And it's down right now.
And you know, and well, it's actually trading around. Well, if you look at Bitcoin, it's sitting right on a key moving average right here. Some of the other currencies have done very, very well, like Solana has done very well, and AVAX and Sandbox and Mana, which are tied more to the metaverse. So, you know, there will be Ethereum, which has been outperforming Bitcoin. And I think that really basically what we're seeing here, and this is the biggest danger we have, which we started talking about, which is if decentralized coins or definance really becomes the thing, because people can't trust anything. They can't trust the Fed. They can't trust the government.
Right.
They can't trust fiat currency. They can't trust the metals. I mean, gold certainly hasn't proven to be doing very much of anything. The only place they'll really be able to go is here into the cryptocurrency. So maybe that's the most excited that I am right now about anything. I mean, we're really light. We've cleaned out a lot of our portfolio over the last couple of weeks.
Interesting. So we'll Andy, go ahead. You got a question?
No, I'm okay. Well, okay. I was just kind of wondering, when you look at the terrible holiday sales for starts, okay?
Right.
Because that's bad. That's ominous. These places, they make their money during this period, not the rest of the year. The rest
Black
of the
Friday
year
for
they
a reason.
The rest of the year they survive.
That's right.
But now through Christmas, they make their money. 28% down is terrible. I was looking at two possible causes of that. Could one of it be that people have spread out their spending? First of all, a lot of them are spending well in advance because they're worried about supply chains.
True.
And they're worried about getting that toy for their kid and not having a jingle all the way situation where they can't get it. And B, what about just flat out inflation on necessities like food and gas?
Right.
Is maybe their pockets are just lighter.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you see these things affecting it?
Oh, absolutely. I think you hit both nails on the head exactly. I mean, there was, statistically, there was information that was coming out about the fact that people were buying in it well in advance because of the fear of there not being things on the shelf.
Right.
So, yeah, that was happening to a degree. It did look like maybe we were going to get into a more joyous holiday. Certainly the variant put a lot of kibosh on the joy of the holidays, and that was just unfortunate and blindsided a lot of people, because even though that variant was around, nobody in the media talked about it until you woke up. Thursday night, Friday morning, you woke up to it. And then the other thing, like you say, yes, because prices are much higher for things, the inflation factor is definitely, I mean, we know that everybody paid more for Thanksgiving this year, and we know that the you're spending more putting your gas in your car. But we don't really want to go into deflation either. I mean, that's not going to be a good thing. So you want some level of inflation here that will be healthy. So we were, things could get really, I hate to say it because I'm never a Debbie Downer. I always like to be optimistic about some opportunity somewhere. But right now it's really hard to see where things are going to be great as we're going into this year. And then on top of that, we're going into a political mess with the midterm elections, you know, and we know that everybody turns it, all the politicians turn their attention to getting votes, however they go about doing that.
It's true.
And you've got this big whomping mess going around all over the world, essentially.
Yep. No, you are right. And how do you pinpoint all of that? That's why you guys are there. Tell folks how they can get hold of you, Michelle.
Well, I did mention cryptocurrency, so I just want to take a second to say we started actually a quant model service trading cryptocurrency called CryptoPulse.
Okay.
And that was, you went to marketgage.com. It basically trades all the large cap coins for you.
Okay.
It's a great way to get started, or if you're a veteran. So marketgage.com is our website, and then you can find me personally on Twitter. My handle is at MarketMinute.
That's perfect. Thank you for saying that. We'll get that up on the website later tonight as well. Michelle, thank you as always. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, guys.
You're very welcome. Have a great evening. And, again, to me, Andy, it's all over the map. I mean, she watches this stuff more closely than, I do, or probably even you do on a daily basis. And one positive of all of this that we did not get a chance to talk much about. Didn't necessarily need her opinion on this because you can already see what this is going to do. But when we've got $15 a barrel, $15 per barrel less today than we had even a month ago, that's going to have a positive effect in the not too distant future.
Sure.
Because we're down 15. We're 84, 85 bucks a barrel. We're at 67 today.
And that was going to happen, John.
Of course.
I mean, that was going to happen. The prices were way too high. And we expected it to jump up quite a bit just because of demand coming back off of COVID. But this was ridiculous. A lot of it was spurred by actions by Biden.
That's exactly right. So, again, we have seen that drop. That is a plus. Where do things go? Where do you put your money? Folks, I'm not the guy that can answer that. I will say this, though. Charlie, put Golden Eagle next, because this is a great chance for you to just call Al Smith. He's the guy to talk to when you start looking down the road at your retirement, your portfolio. Are you doing this correctly? Do you have the right mix of things? This is where Al needs to come in and help you, because, frankly, I can't. This is not my forte. KLZradio.com, 303-744-1128.
You've been saving for retirement your entire career. Now it's time to take some of your winnings off the table. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you create a tax-efficient retirement plan. You've never had much need for a financial advisor in the past because you have primarily contributed to your company's 401k or IRA. Now you're looking to the future. You know those accounts will be fully taxable once you retire, and taxes could be a pretty big chunk. Now's the time to start thinking about converting at least a portion of your nest egg into tax-free accounts. Your company's retirement plan has served you well, but you don't need to leave your nest egg there forever. In fact, it may be in your best interest to move some of that money before you retire. Find out how you could move into a lower tax bracket. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith at klzradio.com/money. Planning with purpose. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Oh, man, by the way, if you haven't looked west, look at the sunset to the west. It's absolutely gorgeous,
Is
also where Geno's is located, on the west side of town.
Well, that's why it is.
It's sitting right on top of it. Whoa.
I know. It's like God is shining down on Geno's.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh. What a sunset.
That's exactly right. Geno's Auto Service in Littleton. Seriously, folks, best place to take your car. 303-794-6700 or genosautoservice.com.
Oh, that's crazy. This month at Geno's Auto Service in Littleton, receive a new set of windshield wipers with any service over $50. It won't be long before the cold weather returns, so now is a good time to make sure your vehicles are serviced and in good condition. At Geno's, any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. This month only, take advantage of free windshield wipers with any service over $50 when you mention this ad on KLZ. For over 38 years, Geno's has been serving customers all along the Front Range. Geno's is AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Be sure to check out Geno's excellent Google reviews. Stop in or visit them online at genosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate sitting in with John Rush. And John, that sunset has us mesmerized.
It's like a painting.
It looks like
it's
a painting.
Absolutely. I mean, I know that every sunset is great, but this one especially, oh my word, how beautiful.
I know. Charlie's going gaga in there.
Hand of God.
Okay.
I also say it.
Before we go into the end of the hour, I want to talk about shopping. I want to talk about what's happening right now in Colorado. I want to talk just briefly about people moving their money county to county, which is happening,
it
by
is
the
happening.
Way. I put out some posts over the weekend. I literally got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of positive likes across many pages, because I basically said, look, I just spent $270 in Douglas County that I took away from
Arapahoe County. Aurora, right.
Yeah, well, in Aurora now, the mayor in Aurora is trying to exempt Aurora from Tri-County's mandate, just so you know. He put out a letter that
Kaufman
said...
Is. He should.
Yeah, he said, we are not part of this, and, you know, I could go into that, but I won't right now. Here's what I was basically telling everybody online to do. Because you got to punish these counties that are going to be mask Nazis, and here's why. If you don't, then the mask mandates will accelerate
right.
and spread,
right.
and all the counties will have them. So here's what you do. You still have good patriotic businesses within those counties. Go to those. Absolutely patronize the good patriotic businesses. Outside of that, move your spending to the free counties. Now, I saw people doing this. What I saw over the weekend was some malls that were up in Arapahoe were two-thirds full.
Mm-hmm.
The lots were. Meanwhile, Corey and I, we went down into Douglas. Coming back, there was a pileup with no accidents of cars about 2 miles out going into the...
Unbelievable.
Into Castle
outlets.
Rock.
Unreal.
And so one thing that's really happening right now is the spending is moving.
Sure it is.
And I got a zillion comments from people in Larimer saying they went to Weld. I got a ton of comments from people in Arapahoe and Jefferson saying they went to Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
So those counties.
Shift one over.
Those counties made bank.
These counties that are doing this, and I talked about this in depth yesterday, you know, the part of the problem we've got is – you have academia,
yes.
literally, i.e. Jeffco, academia, the person in charge.
People
of
who know nothing about business,
well,
who don't compete.
I would go
job.
As far as to say that Dawn, who's in charge of, I'm not even going to call her a doctor because in my opinion she's not. She's never practiced. She's never had a medical practice in her entire life.
I doubt
if she's ever even seen a patient, Andy. So, but Dr. Dawn in Jeffco, who's in charge of the Jefferson County Health Department, who has, by the way, she's the one that recommends and sets all these quote-unquote safety measures like masks and so on.
Right.
Yet not only doesn't know anything about business, Andy, she knows nothing.
About COVID.
About taking care of a patient either.
No, about taking care of a patient. And by the way, this comes on the heels of our ultra-leftist governor even admitting, hey, mask mandates aren't working. Look at New Mexico. They tried them big time there. It didn't have any effect.
Nope.
Okay,
nope.
So first of all,
they're going to kill business in the product, but they don't care, Andy. They don't
it's
care.
Just what I'm saying is this, John. I have never seen such a weird setting right now out there in the retail world. You've got places you can go, places you can't. By the way, you and I said last winter when we're coming out of this, do not have any signs up anywhere that even mention masks.
That's right.
You're going to anger people. They don't even want to hear it.
They don't.
Don't ask them
about it. Don't offer it.
They're
mask fatigued out.
If you can, get them off of your employees. Don't have masks anywhere. But here's another big problem that I'm seeing out there. Service sucks.
Yeah.
Too many people are short-staffed.
Yep. Not the, by the way, not the owner's fault. Not the business's fault.
No. I get the dynamics. I'm just saying service sucks. So right now when you go out and spend, you got too little service. You got places, one place asks about masks, the next doesn't. By the way, folks, those who don't, reward them. Please reward those who don't bother you about masks.
Yeah.
Okay. But it is just weird. And finally, you've got counties that people are just fleeing for the county next door. Weld and Douglas, I guarantee you, are just breaking bank right now.
Rightfully so. All right. Barber's Foods is coming up next. And folks, again, Greg will be out with us tomorrow night in Parker, so be sure to stop by. He'll have some great samples. And don't forget to go online, ranchfreshmeats.com, and you can actually register for that free case of choice Angus ribeyes, which I had some of those over the weekend, and they're delicious.
By the way, our party in Parker is in Douglas. It's mask-free.
Yes, it's mask-free.
Just want to remind you.
Great.
Now, back to great meats. Sorry.
No, it is. It's the best meat. And again, if you want to see some of it come out tomorrow night, Greg will have some on display. RanchFreshMeats.com.
Do you want to get an extra special Christmas gift for your best corporate client to say thank you for their business in 2021? Or do you need a special gift for that special man in your life that's hard to shop for because he already has everything he wants? RanchFreshMeats.com has a great supply of premium gift boxes ready to ship this week and all the way up to Christmas. Nothing says thank you like a box of perfectly aged Wagyu steaks, a box of natural smoked bacon and hams, a case of bison tenderloin steaks, or a case of assorted premium pork, beef, and bison items. All gift boxes are 10% off during the month of December, so get your Christmas shopping done early at RanchFreshMeats.com.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. About done here with this second hour. We'll be back for a third hour. John Zmarek joining us and Mark Meadows, his book, Chief's Chief, which we had Mark on once before. But Mark's a great guest. We had a lot of fun last time he was on. I'm glad he's going to join us again. It's quite a treat on our part, by the
way. Awesome guy.
Yeah, so I'm going to thoroughly look forward to that. Back to Andy's comment about, you know, just business in general. And you know, you look at this 28% and what was down, and, you know, you've got to also, and we didn't talk about this with Mish, but you've got to look at some of what Andy just said a moment ago. And if there are certain cities across the country that put these mandates back in place, how many people just said, you know what, screw it, I'm not going out. I'm just going to stay home, forget it.
Yeah,
why
I
bother?
Think that also fed into the 28%.
I agree.
When they put out this thing about this ridiculous Omicron, the moronic plague, as I keep saying, when they put that out, smart people blew it off.
Yeah.
But everybody else just said, you know what?
Well, the lemmings
stay I don't
home.
Even want to go to a business right. That's going to freak out about that.
Right. And I will say that even myself, if I have to wear a mask, I'm probably not going in, folks.
No.
I'm just that guy now. I don't need to. I don't need your product that much that I have to go in and wear a mask.
I will find an alternative if I can.
That's right. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So those of you that are business owners, remember what I just
said.
Take
down the signs.
Yeah. Write that down, by the way.
Yep.
All right. We'll be back. Hour 3 coming up next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.